At National University, it's not just a degree in using a strand of hair to find the truth. It's not just a degree in making sure the wrong guy doesn't stay locked up. When the DNA doesn't match, it's not just the degree, it's the degree to which you use it. Earn your master's in forensic science with one course per month. Visit nu.edu to learn more about a nonprofit institution where students come first. National University, for the greater.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa Copeland, the host of the You Can Find Love the Second Time Around show. I'm also a love coach and dating expert for women over 50 at findaqualityman.com. And today, I have with me a special guest, Mike Green. He's a matchmaker in the Cleveland area, and I invited him to be with us because a lot of women would like to use matchmakers, but they're not sure what matchmakers do. And we're also, Mike and I are going to talk about how online dating differs from matchmaking and which is the one that is best for you. So, Mike, I want to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. We're going to talk about matchmakers in 1 second. I want to talk about online dating because I know a lot about that, and then we'll start talking about matchmaking. So online dating has been probably the easiest way for women to find love again. Wouldn't you say that's the easiest? It's quick. It doesn't cost that much.
You're asking me that question, correct?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about why matchmaking is better. I think certainly it's the easiest avenue for people to start with due to its inexpensive. It's kind of a quick type thing, and
right.
People can get out there and kind of shop around and see what return is. So it's kind of an easy thing to jump into for sure.
But most women and men too get super frustrated with online dating because there are so many people on there. It's a one-dimensional venue to date by because all you're seeing is someone's picture. You cannot see their real personality. And people are making snap judgments about people they really know nothing about. I know you and I have talked about online dating. What have you found to be the biggest pitfalls to online dating?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Everyone online, you're not talking to the person or getting to know anything about them. You're just focused on the physical. And so that's kind of what, a lot of people appeals to them initially. But as we both know, relationships are built on much more than appearance. It's shared interests and lifestyles and people that have the same value system, so on and so forth. But I think what I've been hearing, what I've heard from clients over the past 22 years is that they get frustrated online because it has a fleeting nature to it. People are on there. They're communicating initially with emailing each other for a day or two, and then poof, it's over. And they're like, geez, what just happened? Well, what happened was someone got 27 new, emails from 27 other guys or 27
right.
other women. So what happens is it kind of clouds everything, even though the whole premise sounds really good. You get to go on there and pick who you like and communicate. The idea of it actually building is really rare. I've read for every 1,000 clients for every 1,000 people that use online dating, it's like a 5% success rate. So people certainly get caught up with it because of all the advertising, everything you hear on TV and radio. But the long and short of it is, my personal opinion is it's the people that really value privacy and confidentiality and want to do it in a much more dignified manner are those that seek out matchmakers.
I want to talk about that in a minute, but first I want to give people the phone number if they'd like to call in today to ask us about online dating or matchmaking. So you can call in at 646-716-7979. Again, that phone number is 646-716-7979, and Mike and I would love to answer your questions about finding love the second time around. I have seen a lot of people do find love online. It is more of a struggle only because of that one dimension part of it. And it's also, I believe that a lot of women don't have a clear vision of who they want. They may want certain qualities. And so what they do is if a guy doesn't have those qualities, they say next online, because it's like a candy store. I'm sure you see this too, and we'll talk about this in a second. But they go next because it is such a one-dimensional thing, and they can't truly see someone's personality. And it's the personality that actually makes someone much more attractive. A picture doesn't do that for someone. But I feel like most women are putting, and men are putting, value on qualities versus on values and how they feel around a man. What do you think about that, Mike?
Well, I think, again, what you're saying, a lot of it is true. Sometimes due to the, you know, high volume of people online, it is kind of like a, you know, kind of a Walmart, you know, Walmart, Target, whatever you want to call it, where you can go on there and everything is right there in front of you. But again, you know, sometimes people, due to the busyness of it and the ease of using it, maybe they're not really, you know, focusing on what's really important. They almost get caught up in the whole, you know, storm of it and the excitement of it. But when push comes to shove, maybe they're not really narrowing it down to what they really want and what would be best for them.
When I work with private clients, we create what's called a dating blueprint, and we talk about where they can meet men in real life, where they can meet men online, the right dating sites for them, and a matchmaker, and then, of course, people that can fix you up. So let's talk about matchmaking. What is the advantages of having a matchmaker?
What I have heard, again, for over 22 years, it's the people that really value privacy and confidentiality. Maybe they just aren't comfortable in, you know, having their picture on whatever site they're using. For whatever
I've heard
reason,
that before.
They just don't want the whole. I had a client many years ago that was going to work on a rapid transit in Cleveland. And some guy approached her at 8 in the morning, and he said, "I see you on Match all the time." He goes, "How's it working for you?" And he said this in front of, like, you know, 75 people.
Oh, my God.
It goes back to the whole privacy confidentiality matter. Everything is done with me behind closed doors. No last names are given out, no photos. Everything is between – I'm the middleman between all clients. It has more of a dignified feel to it. Secondly, the caliber is fabulous. The people that reach out to matchmakers like myself, independent, privately owned boutique services like mine, these are people that value what you do. They've been online, or maybe they never even tried online. They like the idea that, hey, my matchmaker is personally looking, he's scrolling his database for someone that truly meets my specs from top to bottom, and they like the comfort of it. Continuing here, I also act as well as other matchmakers. We support the client, and we also coach them. Sometimes people say, "I don't want to meet her. She's over 50 and she's 53. And I say, "You know, John, she looks better than most women 43. And then I start to gain his interest and his confidence. And then it starts to, you know, he's getting it. And then when I arrange the match, he says, "Wow, I sure am glad I met her." There's a lot of input. We're not just, you know, online, you're looking at a photo, and she's cute, he's cute, he's hot, she's hot, what have you. But with using a matchmaker, there's a lot of, it's very interactive with the matchmaker as well as the client. There's a lot of conversations and emails and texting, and most of my business comes via referral, which is, you know, which is a pretty big statement. And also the last thing I want to say about the nice thing about using a matchmaker is the ease of process. When someone comes, you know, online, has pitfalls for, in that it it's fleeting. You're talking to someone and then boom, it's over. Talking to another person, it's over. When we put matches together with my company, there's a lot of thought that goes behind it, and both people get very thorough profiles of one another. And when then matches occur, it typically leads to second dates and third dates and so on. So I think there's a lot of depth to it, and clients really value, you know, that type of personalization.
Yeah, I think they would. Well, you said before that when there is a match, you have a match for someone, you don't show a picture. So how do people know who they're looking for when they meet, or how do they meet
without?
I'll answer
your question in a sec. The reason I really don't like to use photos is because someone might not be photogenic. Someone might look at someone's pic and say, "Wow, I don't like her smile," or "I don't like the way, you know, his haircut," or what have you. And they might take something very small and blow it up and say, "I'm not meeting this person." And I'm not an advocate of that, because what I tell my clients is I match accordingly based on what my client is bringing to the table in terms of appearance, personality, socioeconomics, educational levels, kids, no kids, world travelers, people that don't travel at all, so on and so forth. I match accordingly. So the whole physical thing is I always put apples with apples and oranges with oranges. It's very close. How do people recognize each other? Being the middleman and as a matchmaker with my business, I pick smaller type restaurants, cafes, bakeries, coffee shops, what have you, and people meet at a certain, you know, day, time, and place in a specific area of the place, and they're both looking for one another. Rarely is there a snafu. Maybe one out of every couple hundred, someone might be running a little bit late and there might be a little snag, but by and large, they get a very clear picture of what the other person looks like. And had a lot of success over the years, so something must be working right.
So what I really hear you saying is the advantage of a matchmaker is, one, you are vetting the people ahead, and you are determining who they are, what their interests are, and then you're matching them with people with similar interests, right?
It's across the board. It's age is taken into account, the people's mindset, socioeconomics, educational levels, level of activity, ages of children, race, religion, ethnicity. It's the whole gamut. In meeting a client, typically my interviews are about 2 hours, so I get a real hands-on, thorough knowledge of what they're all about, what they're bringing to the table, and what they're looking for in return. And when I go to my database, it's not software-driven. I actually go through my database manually, FileMaker Pro 6.0. I go through it manually, and I handpick those that I think are very close matches. You know, it's not exact, but I feel it's very close. And that's the whole reason I feel I've had the success I've had over the years, is that there's no turnover here. I meet and match every client since 1995. And people really like that. They like that, you know, the personalization, and that you're giving them, you know, everything you have. They really like that. And, of course, feedback on dates helps me with future matches. If we have to tweak things, we tweak. But it's a very high level of sincerity. Sincerity is the operative word here. People that do this as clients, they mean business. They're looking for love/relationships. And whereas online, I think you get a lot of people who are just kind of on there for fun. And so there's a very big difference between the two.
This reminds me of the process of going to look for a house, where if you go and look for a house on your own, you cannot see what the house really has to offer. It's like we go out there and we're looking for the negative of everything. And I think people date that way too, by the way, where they go on a date and they're totally looking for someone's negativity versus saying, "Wow, let's see what this person has," because we all have faults. I mean, don't you find that in dating that
– No doubt. It's a lot of people – it's kind of a defense mechanism as I see it. I've spoken on debate teams – on debates over the United States, you know, where as part of a panel with an audience, people talking about their dating woes over the years. And many times people are looking, you know, well, he meets everything I like, but he's not a golfer. So I'm not going to – you know, I can't continue with this guy. I play golf 3 times a week. If you're looking for negatives, you're going to find something. My advice is to focus on the positives, and if you have a really good feel about the person, it's never going to be exact. If you have, if all the more important things are in place, that's really what you want to build on, not just running for the exit door. I think a lot of people do that today. Maybe they're just, you know, maybe it's fear, maybe the idea of being in a relationship is not, they're not quite ready for it. But you know, my advice is to give people a shot, and if most of the specs are met, try to see it through.
So, excuse me, what's the difference between someone, like you're a boutique kind of matchmaker, there's also national chains of matchmaking that so many people have gotten involved with, and I've had a lot of clients get involved with them and it's gone nowhere. So why do people get... What do you feel the biggest frustration is with matchmakers? Or what? Or maybe we should start with what's the difference between if someone's looking for a matchmaker, and it sounds like a matchmaker, as I was mentioning with the house earlier, when you go on your own, you see the faults, whereas you go with a realtor, and a realtor will point out all the amazing things the house has. And a matchmaker does that too. So why? What should women be looking for or men looking for? And versus, like, what is the difference between a boutique kind of matchmaker and these national chains?
Well, it's a really good question, and it's a question I've probably answered 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 times since I've started my business. It's almost like a Walmart or Home Depot versus a corner hardware store. Somebody wants to go, and they want a certain color of paint and a certain type of paint, and they walk into a Walmart, and there's people running around everywhere, and they can't find anyone to help them, and they're looking, and next thing they know, they've been there an hour, and they still can't get help, and it gets a little frustrating. Whereas you go to a corner hardware store, and the owner is right there, front and center. He's been there for 25 years, and he says, I know exactly what you're looking for. That's what I do as a boutique. Nothing wrong with national chains. They're highly advertised. They're promoted on airlines. They're promoted on TV, on radio, all over the place. And I'm sure they do, you know, a good job for, you know, certain people. But what I've heard over the years is that there's, you know, in a chain, you don't have the owner operator there. It's a franchised owned operation, and there's a lot of turnover. And whenever there's turnover in any business, it's problems ensue. You know, a restaurant that changes hands every 6 months or every year, and usually those places don't make it. When you have turnover of staff, especially in matchmaking, it you know, it creates havoc because no one, you could be using a service, a very expensive service, I might add, and the person that interviewed you 6 weeks ago is now working at a restaurant or a department store or what have you, and now who knows who, you know, who Jennifer is. A boutique, the owner has been there since the start of time, and they have their finger on the pulse. They've met the client. They know how the client rolls. They know what the client's about, and they have a thorough knowledge of who they are and what they're looking for. So if I was looking, I would personally go, even if I was in a different industry, I would lean towards the boutiques as opposed to the franchises because of the turnover and the high pressure, and they're on commission, and they have to, you know, they have to be, you know, they kind of have to have a hard sale mentality. I don't push. If someone calls, we talk about it. If they're not quite ready, I back off. If they're interested, I'll call back. If they want references, I'll do that. I'll provide 4 or 5 references of those that have been successful. But I think there's a huge difference between, boutique matchmakers as opposed to the large chain type matchmaking firms.
Well, that's a, you know, that's really interesting to know. So when you recommend a matchmaker, then you recommend going to a boutique kind of person. So one of the things we both do is coach people, because most people do not really, they're not born to date. I mean, nobody has these skills instinctively in them. Most people don't. Maybe some flirting skills, but like I have found with my clients, I teach them what to look for, how to feel good about themselves, how to feel good about men, and then they can, that, this is how they can find men, whether online or with a matchmaker. I think a lot of women get super frustrated with matchmakers because they expect the matchmaker to be a miracle for them. Do you find that?
That happens frequently. When I meet clients, I don't oversell it. I don't give them false hopes, saying, oh, my God, it's going to work. You're going to find your husband or your boyfriend. I tell them you have to stay the course because the database changes weekly, monthly, yearly. New people are coming in. Other ones have either moved or met their, you know, contracted for a number of matches. Some people go on hold and then come off of hold. So it's always, the database is always changing. And I really try to preach to clients, give the process a chance. Don't go on one date and say, he was boring, I don't want to do this, I'm done. You're really doing yourself a disservice if you do that. Meet, you know, now, if you go on 10 and they're all like that, different story. But that typically doesn't happen. And again, it doesn't happen because at a boutique, the owner slash the proprietor owner of business is matching accordingly. But yeah, many times people get frustrated even with me, and sometimes they blow up and you try to diffuse it and say, let's move forward. The next one might be a great fit. And I can't tell you how many people over the years were dissatisfied and wound up, when they rethought my initial advice about staying the course, they changed their thinking a little bit, put their best foot forward, and things worked out. So you have to give yourself an opportunity.
So if I hear you right, and I think this is true with online dating too, because everybody quits one of the four ways I mentioned earlier if they get frustrated and they go on like 3 days. So I've had people come to me and they've said, for coaching, because they said, I went on 5 dates and nobody was the one. I, too, think it is definitely a process. You have to get to know a lot of people, because it also helps you get clearer on who you want and who you don't want, wouldn't you say, when you're on these dates?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just can't – it's, you know, you have to stay the course. That's really the operative term. Just because you do online and the first four, you know, women a guy meets didn't meet, you know – He thought it was going to work, and he met him, and it didn't turn out to be successful. It doesn't mean the next person you meet might be the love of your life. And it's the same thing with a matchmaker. You can't get frustrated. You can't, you know, just get down on dating and down on life and say, oh, this is just overwhelming. But really, you have to be in the right place initially. You know, if it's, you know, maybe you might wait a couple years after a divorce, or if you're widowed, wait a couple years. Sometimes your head has to be clear, but you try to avoid frustration. You know, have a clear idea of what you're looking for, whether it's online or with a matchmaker, and try to really look for those qualities that you feel are the most important to you. And I've always said, date selectively. If it's on your own, organically, online, through a matchmaker, date people that have the stuff you're looking for, and date smart. That's the way to do it, in my eyes.
What's date smart mean?
Date smart means date selectively. Just don't do serial dating where you're meeting 6 people a week. Yeah, you know, your friends are fixing you up, and you're online, and okay, I'll meet anybody. That's not really what I think. It's smarter to have an idea in your head about what the true characteristics are that you're looking for in another person, and try to focus on people that fulfill those specs. So when I say date smart, date selectively. Date people that you feel are right for you, that have, you know, the those intangibles that you're looking for, or that have the, you know, the solid credentials, or maybe that's the wrong word, but has the the meat of what you're looking for. I think it's just a good way to go rather than just dating randomly and going on, you know, doing serial dating. I think that burns people out.
So I've watched clients find love the second time around. And what I found the most, the biggest thing that has helped them find love is, one, they do the work. They do their own internal work, because a lot of people do come out of relationships really fast and they want to get into another one. And usually you attract the same kind of junk you just left when you do that. It's just a natural thing. You have to finish it with someone. But the next thing they do is they really come to a place of loving themselves, so they can bring forth to them a partner who also loves themselves, so they can create the love together. I've had women tell me before we started working together, well, I want a guy who's tall, dark, and handsome. He will go bike riding with me. He will go play tennis with me. And I will say to them, is that really what's going to make you happy? Because it's not. Don't you find what's really going to make them happy is how they feel around that person? How that person
is. No doubt.
Mm-hmm. It's not about quality. How do you deal with that when people say to you, I've got to have someone who's
golfing? Well, it's kind of like, you know, when I work with clients, it's kind of initially when I meet a client, this is really important, they usually give me all the basics, you know, this age group, and I'm like athletic, and, you know, over 5'10", and in shape, and educated, and six figures, and blah, blah, blah. But then as time goes on, after 2, 3, 4 matches or what have you, then they start seeing that they come back and they say, let's meet again, or let's talk. I want to tweak a few things. And it's almost like they're getting to know themselves better about who they really are and what they're really looking for. And then it makes it more successful, because now I have they have a better understanding of themselves and what's going to make them happy, not just the, the tall, dark, and handsome stuff. And it's the same thing with guys, I want, thin and hot and cute and this and young and this and that. You have no idea how much coaching I do. I don't like the word coaching, but just kind of I try to get men to think out of the box, be it an inch here, 10 pounds there, 20 miles here. Forget about it. Put it aside. She might be a great girl, great woman. And I really try to preach people to think out of the box, which I think will work well for them. But again, you have to be really healthy yourself in who you are, in your confidence, your self-esteem, and really feel good before you can go out and date to attract the right people. Mm-hmm.
Totally agree. Even with the matchmaker, either way. Because if you are not in a good place, you're very hard to fix up.
Even if you're vulnerable, I mean, I've worked with people where I could see that, confidence was lacking or self-esteem was lacking. And while I don't want to, tell them, scold them about what to do, I try to offer them. I did it last week with a gentleman. He's 50. And I said, I know it's a little frustrating, but I said, you're a good guy. And I said, you have to just kind of be patient. Let me do my work for you. And I'm going to find that person, for you, but just give me the opportunity. And he understood. And we have something set up for him next week that looks to be a really good match. But so just to repeat myself, you've got to be in a good place yourself, happy, upbeat, comfortable with who you are, secure, and also give yourself the opportunity to find love. Don't just close the door on people. Right out of the gate. Give people a chance.
For sure. Let's talk one second here, though, about men and younger women. Do you find that most men have to have younger women? Because this is women's biggest concern. And I have found from my own personal dating experiences in the past that there were a lot of men my age that liked women my age. There were some that wanted younger women. But in matchmaking, do you find that this is a real issue, or how do you deal? Talk about this a minute, Mike.
I think it depends on the person. Sometimes it works the other way. I'll get a female client who says, "I like going younger. I want younger.
Yep.
And I encourage without without being overwhelming. I've always been an advocate of going up 5, 6, 7 years and maybe, you know, down 4 or 5 years. Give yourself, a woman's 55, you know, I would think a gentleman anywhere from, you know, low 50s to maybe 60, 62. It can't be always, you know, exact. There has to be a little wiggle room. But I'm not a huge advocate of people only looking for dates of people that are, you know, 10, 12, 15 years younger. Typically, that doesn't work. I think the closer you are in age, the better off you are, because you have a lot of shared, you know, experiences. History, music, relationships, kids, all that stuff. Personally, I'm single at this time. I'm more comfortable with someone my age than someone 10 years younger. And I mean that. I really think it's good when it's very close in age. And I always try to encourage that. If a guy comes to me and says, I'm 60, but I look great for my age, and I'll go down to 40, it's typically not going to work, because women are not going up 20 years.
No. Just unless they have a bazillion dollars, then they'll go up
20 years. That wouldn't hurt.
So I want to pause here a second. If you want to share any of your matchmaking experiences or online dating experiences, you can call in at 646-716-7979. We'd love to answer your questions. So, Mike, you know, I remember when it comes to this age thing, I went out with a guy. This was in my 40s, and he told me he was 63. So we went out, and we're having a conversation, and somehow I started talking about Kennedy's assassination, which for people over, let's say 55, maybe a little bit older, 60, is a definite historical point. You know, this was a big deal. So I remember I was at the Brownie. I was supposed to go to Brownies, and we were standing at where we were supposed to meet all the other Brownies, and all these people are crying. These adults are crying. And of course, they canceled Brownies. So I remember real significantly we were home from school. So I said to the guy, I was 9 years old. How old were you? He says, well, I was working. And I went, you were working? He had told me he was like 5 years older than me. Mm-hmm. I said, but you would have been 14 years old. So a lot
maybe he had a paper route.
Yeah, no, he was actually about 15 years older than me, or 20,
right.
And he was trying to pass himself off. He actually looked pretty old. He looked good. But there is something, a lot of people try and lie about their age. In fact, I tell women, do not lie about your age.
No.
It sets you up as being dishonest from the very start.
That's the bad start.
Yeah.
Bad start. Honesty is the best policy. It really is. I think Abe Lincoln said that, right? But you got to be upfront. You really have to be transparent. Going back to the online thing, you get people posting photos from 8, 10, 12 years ago, and people show up, and they're like, hi, are you Richard? And they're like, Emily, I didn't recognize you. People post photos from 10 years ago. That's not something I encourage. It really isn't, because you're getting off on the wrong foot.
Right.
Be upfront. Tell the truth.
Right. And I actually think people shoot themselves in the foot when it comes to dating by doing things like that. I had a woman write to me, and she said, my profile's not attracting anyone. And I read her profile, and she talks about her profile that she's actually 10 years older than she really was. And even though she's honest about it in her profile, the problem with that is that, you know, men are looking for, she said, I think she was 65, and she was saying she was 55 or something. And men are looking for 55-year-old women, and then they get to her profile, and she's older, they're going, goodbye, you lied, you know, piss me off.
Well, I think most guys wouldn't be real happy with that. It's you really have to be upfront, and it's, you know, it'll work in your best interest. It's just all about meeting the right person. And when you do, and you got to give yourself, again, the chance to do that, whichever avenue you're using, online or organic or through a service like mine, You have to put your best foot forward, give yourself the opportunity, and you will connect. It may take a month, it may take 6 months, it may take a year, but you're going to connect. You just have to put yourself out there.
For sure, in a healthy place.
No doubt.
So what have you found in matchmaking when you've made a good match, and what have you found the biggest disasters that's ever happened for you, why somebody didn't like it, and also one of the biggest success stories and what made it a success?
Well, I mean, I've had probably 4,000 clients since I started my business. So there's, a lot of success stories. A couple hundred marriages have occurred. I had a gentleman about a year and a half ago call me. He was widowed, early 40s, two young kids, and he was referred to me, and he met someone through me. I think it was his second match, and he called me and said, "She's terrific. Let's put things on hold." This was just, they got married last summer, and it just took him by a complete shock. And next thing you know, it was a month and 3 months and 6 months. They got engaged. Now they're cohabitating, and I mean, they're both happy. They both sent me, thank you notes and all. So, I mean, that happens a lot. And again, mm-hmm. I think it's a byproduct of me being able to read people. If they were online, they probably wouldn't even look at each other. But next. Whereas with me, again, I told them about the depth. I told each person about the depth of the other other person and why I thought it'd be a really good match. So that's happened a lot where people have met on, first dates, maybe their second date through, or maybe their second match or third match. And I've also had dates that have bombed where I've had people meet and maybe they weren't attracted to the person and they immediately shut down and the eye contact was poor. And even though I thought it was a good match, sometimes you think it is, but it doesn't work out. And, the date's short. But again, when I meet them, I tell them out of the gate, you have to, give the person an hour, and even if it doesn't work, be respectful and we'll get, the wheels back on track for the next match. But dating is not the easiest thing in the world. Dating is work.
No.
I mean, you have to, everyone's vulnerable and everyone's been hurt, especially when you're dating in your 40s and 50s and 60s.
Right.
But it's where you're at. And you can sit home and watch, TV, or you can hang out with your girlfriends, your guy friends. But if you really want to connect, you're going to have to do something because we're no longer on a college campus. We're not 19 where it's just like,
everyone's
you walk down
single.
The quad. I mean, it's a different game now. It's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to go the route that's easiest for you. And that's most effective for you. And there's options out there, and people have choices.
I also think one of the reasons that people have such a difficult time finding love as they get older is because they're not willing to put the time in when something goes wrong. It goes back to that looking at people's flaws. It intensifies their flaws. And one of the things I do tell clients to do is when they start seeing someone, they're in a relationship and they start seeing negative things, do what I call the 3-to-1 game, and you want to say 3 positive things for each negative thing, because negativity just continues to grow. And then people don't seem to want to always put the work in to fix a relationship. They think, I just tried to fix a relationship, I'm not going to do this again. Have you found that too? That people,
well,
that's one of the biggest troubles?
I think that's society driven. I don't know what percentages of people that get married, wife and divorce in the first 5 years or 10 years, people are quick to say, "Oh my God, it's over. I'm done." And even if you're married, I think people, rather than sitting down and saying, "Hey, we have got a lot here that we've, a lot of good stuff together. Let's fix these little things." It just seems like people are more apt to try and run for the door than to fix things. I'm not like that. I mean, personally, and even professionally, I tell clients, if most of what's there is good, and you guys have been dating for 6 months, why don't you try and put that together as opposed to starting all over? But
yeah,
that's just
deal.
The way it seems like society is with all the, you know, Facebook and all the internet sites. You got free dating sites. Everyone's always looking for the bigger, better deal. What's next? Who's available? And it's almost like the mentality has changed, where people are more likely to stray than to try and patch up the good thing they already have.
Yeah. And that's, I think, why people bounce. You know, they bounce relationship to relationship to relationship, and they often choose wrong. And here's one thing I want to talk with you about, because I see it all the time, and I think you do too, and that is chemistry being the main thing they're looking for. When I have clients, I tell them, you don't want that hot chemistry, because that's really not going to give you in the long run what you want. You really want that chemistry that's a slow burn and continues to fire up. What do you tell your clients about chemistry when they say, I didn't feel the chemistry?
Well, usually when I hear people say they didn't have chemistry, usually that kind of goes back to the whole physical thing. They weren't attracted to the person. And that's, you know, again, when I interview people, I try to get them to think out of the box a little bit and you match accordingly. But the word chemistry is used, it's overused actually, it's overblown. It all depends on the depth of the individual we're working with. But it's all about how you're built and how you're knit. And I try to advocate looking for not just, you know, nice looking or successful, but the people who are close with their kids and the people who have really good friendships they've nurtured over the years and people who are philanthropic in their various, wherever they live, and people who have a really good heart. And I try to weave all that into my matchmaking. And I tell people, you know, when you go on these dates, you know, don't just look at one thing and run for the door if it doesn't work, you know, but it's kind of like a learned behavior. I think you have to really know who you are and what's going to, you know, too many people are looking just for that hot guy or that hot woman. And if it's not there, they're out the door. It's more than that.
Because that is not what makes a relationship last. That's a intense bonding chemical, oxytocin, that's released. That just put together. It will hold a relationship in the long run is exactly what you describe, which are values, that core values that people have.
Totally.
In fact, that's how you feel around someone, and not chemistry, how you feel.
Even, you know, I've never used internet dating, but I've looked at it just for business purposes, and I can even, and I looked at it, you know, periodically, you know, a couple times a year, and I can tell by the way people write, you know, what their mindset is. You can tell how they're knit and the depth of the person by the way they write online, that is. But with my business, you know, when I meet them, you know, my ears are, you know, I'm listening and they're talking and you know where they stand. And then you try to coach and help to get them where they want to be. But it takes time. You have to, you know, you really have to kind of work on who you are, and what, you know, and what you can do to make yourself more appealing, and it takes all that to move forward. You have to look at the whole package, not just, you know, not just certain pieces. Yep.
And I think attraction can grow, especially for women. Like when you first meet someone, you either think, oh my God, they're cute, or they're not cute. But people that are not cute really can grow on you as you get to know their personality and can be an amazing person for you to be with. And I think your idea of staying with the process, and what I do is tell women, at least go on 4 dates with them if they're nice. If they're not nice, goodbye. but if they're nice, go on 4 dates with them. And then you can see, because that can change. Everything can change. Like 4 dates in, you might be thinking on the first 3 dates, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? On the 4th date, the guy may reach across, touch your face, and, oh, my God, the chemistry can suddenly burn. You know, it can suddenly tip off.
I agree with what you're saying. I think it's an old song. Love takes time, but you can't look for instant, because the ones that start off like with sparks can end just as quickly. There has to be many things that intertwine between two people to make the whole thing go. But, many people today, have shut down for different reasons where they think they're looking, but they're not really looking. You have to be, again, in the right place to be out there dating. Otherwise, you're going to kind of go in circles. But you really have to have, your game together. You really have to want a relationship to be in a relationship.
Yeah, and I think people can be really afraid. So, like you said earlier.
Oh, no doubt. I think people, there are people that feel relationships are a burden. My God, I've got to have dinner with him 2-3 times a week, and he wants to go for walks on Sundays and have coffee on Saturdays. Well, I mean, relationships aren't for everyone, but I think most people do want to be in relationships. No, anyone really loves being alone. But, again, you have to really want it to make it happen. If you need time to get there, then take the necessary time to get yourself in the right place. And then when you are in the right place, then, start new, start fresh.
So before I ask you your final pearls of wisdom about matchmaking, if people are in the Cleveland area and are looking for a matchmaker, Mike, can you share with them how they can reach out to you?
For sure. The name of the company is Lunch Date, two words, L-U-N-C-H, second word, D-A-T-E. The website is lunchdate.com. That's all one word, lunchdate.com. And I'd be happy to talk with anyone about the process and in which how my business works. I started the company way back in 95, so it's, believe it or not,
it's been around
22 years old, pushing a quarter of a century. I was a young one when I started. And but I'll tell you, I still love it because it's my baby. I started it. Most of my business comes via referral, and people are going to get, at the end of the day, they might, if they don't like the first match and they get mad, that's okay. But at the end of the day, when you've had your 6 dates or 8 dates or whatever you contract for, you will walk away and say, I've met some great people. And I think the likelihood or the chances of a relationship are far stronger going through a boutique service like this than other avenues. So it's lunchdate.com. And hope to hear from anyone that has any interest.
Your last pearl of wisdom about dating and finding love the second time around. What you got for us?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. I could probably talk for an hour on that.
Well, just a short couple sentences because we have
to
end
all right.
Show.
So second one.
But
I saw
this
one from 9 o'clock tonight. I was misinformed. I even have a TV dinner here in the oven. I was ready to talk till 9 o'clock. It's give people a chance, but think out of the box a little bit. Don't have those hard, criteria about 10 miles or a certain height or a certain hair color or somebody with no kids or only with kids. You'll never know unless you give yourself a chance. As they say, I think it was a Wayne Gretzky line, retired hockey player. He says you'll never make the shots you don't take. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
If you're not taking a shot, you're never going to score. Okay,
sure.
On a hockey rink that is. So Wayne Gretzky, he goes, you'll never score if you don't take any shots. Put yourself out there. Open your mind. Think out of the box a little bit. And you might be very surprised. You may stumble into someone that steals your heart.
Yeah, that's what everyone wants. They want
to. Maybe even maybe even you,
they can share their heart with.
Maybe even you, Lisa Copeland.
Well, Mike, thank you for being here with me for the rest. I hope this was really something that helped you understand matchmaking, and you can find love both online and with a matchmaker, but a matchmaker is going to do the hard work for you that you hate doing online when you're constantly having to go through profiles of of men that are not who you want to be with. And a matchmaker can find much higher quality men. If you want to know more about the 5 little known secrets for finding quality man, it's a great free report. Head to findaqualityman.com and we will send you a copy of it right away. Mike, thank you for being here with us on the Finding Love the Second Time Around show. You're awesome. Keep matching people.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate
it. Oh, it was good having you. All right, everyone. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Look forward to talking with you then.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
At National University, it's not just a degree in using a strand of hair to find the truth. It's not just a degree in making sure the wrong guy doesn't stay locked up. When the DNA doesn't match, it's not just the degree, it's the degree to which you use it. Earn your master's in forensic science with one course per month. Visit nu.edu to learn more about a nonprofit institution where students come first. National University, for the greater. At National University, it's not just a degree in using a strand of hair to find the truth. It's not just a degree in making sure the wrong guy doesn't stay locked up. When the DNA doesn't match, it's not just the degree, it's the degree to which you use it. Earn your master's in forensic science with one course per month. Visit nu.edu to learn more about a nonprofit institution where students come first. National University, for the greater.